Well, there is a kind of easy recognition and easy access with our passage from Ezekiel 37. It's a sort of plug and play of Bible stories. Even without much understanding and knowledge of the Old Testament, you can get something from this beautiful passage. And in many ways, the preacher is kind of redundant. So if you just want to open your Bibles and read the story again, please feel free to do so. No need to listen to me. But if you do want to listen a little bit, let's go and have a quick consideration of the historical context of this passage. The year 597 BC was quite a bad year for the kingdom of Judah. The Babylonians had conquered the land and the leaders of the people were brought to Babylon into exile. 10 years later, in 587 BC, there was an uprising. Jerusalem tried to shake off the foreign powers, but they were unsuccessful, and the second wave of deportations followed. Even more of the people of Judah were now taken into exile, driven out of their land and having to resettle in foreign territory. For the deportees, the future looked very bleak. They had fallen into a black hole of despair and dejection. The example of the kingdom of Israel, the northern part of the northern territory, was a big warning, because the Israelites having been taken, or the people of the kingdom of Israel having been taken into exile, had through intermarriage and assimilation practically been dissolved. Was Judah now facing a similar future? Also, religiously, it was a time of crisis. The Judaism of the time was very firmly centered around worshipping at the temple. But how was this going to continue with the temple no longer being in existence? How was worship meant to be organized? Which new forms needed to be found? Or did it mean that God was simply defeated? That there is a more powerful God in the shape of the Babylonian deity? So it was a very difficult time for the people. And into this situation, Ezekiel was called to be a prophet by God. Already the fact that Ezekiel was called to be God's messenger to the exiles is a powerful sign. Showed them quite clearly that God is not dead. And now there is this beautiful message. Ezekiel is given a vision, a deep religious experience, where he learns in elaborate pictures something of God's plan for his people. A vision is a way of receiving a message. It can be simply for the recipient only, to reassure them directly or direct them. Or it can have a wider significance. And here, Ezekiel is given a very important communication for the whole of the nation, well, for the whole of mankind. When we see bones, then we might recognize whether they're animal or human. But whichever they are, we know that the being is dead, has ceased to exist completely. The exposed bones are the last remnants of a life that has been, and no manner of medical or veterinary science can restore them to life. Bones in the Hebrew language are also a symbol for the inner being of a person. So when you see bones, then the inner being of a person is laid bare. When Ezekiel is shown the bones in this vision, he is asked, can these bones live? And the prophet's answer is kind of enigmatic. It's a bit like a rhetorical question. You alone know. On the one hand, it could indicate that Ezekiel means, you know very well that these bones can't live. Alternatively, it could show faith in God, who can do everything and anything. You know what you can do, in that sort of sense, thus obliquely expressing hope. The picture then develops over several stages. The bones come together, forming again the skeletons, being sort of reassembled like a forensic scientist or forensic archaeologist put together bones found in a particular location. Next, the tendons that link the bones are attached, and finally, flesh is put over them, constituting the bodies. But they're not yet alive. What is missing is the breathing. And here we have the second symbol, the breath, or ruach in Hebrew, which can mean breath, wind, or spirit. It's the breath which brought Adam to life, as it's told in Genesis chapter 2. And a few weeks ago, on the 12th of March, when speaking about John chapter 3, Jonathan told us all about the breath of life. Not just in terms of resuscitation, but in terms of the Holy Spirit. The dried bones are only coming fully to life with the breath, the Spirit. And this leads us to the application. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, we are just as dead as the dried bones in the prophecy. The vision from Ezekiel points us to Easter, the resurrection, and also to Pentecost, the giving of the Holy Spirit. Once filled with the Holy Spirit, we can fully recognize who God is, and we will find life in the deepest sense. I will put my Spirit in you, and you will live, is what we read in Ezekiel 37. Until then, we are lacking something. And the example of John Wesley can serve to illustrate this. Wesley had been brought up a Christian. He studied theology at Lincoln College, Oxford. And he then did his curacy as in the Church of England, actually in his father's parish. Wesley was serious about being a Christian. And thus he wanted to be a missionary. And together with his brother Charles, set off for America to bring the gospel to the Native Americans. But all this time, he was lacking one thing, the Holy Spirit. Wesley's faith was one of knowledge, based on upbringing and tradition, but not on a personal relationship. And perhaps that is why his time as a missionary in America was not successful. When he had returned to London, John Wesley, seemingly by chance, stumbled across a meeting led by a Moravian preacher. And it was there that he realized what was lacking, the personal faith, the trust in Jesus, which comes through the Holy Spirit. And having understood this and been filled with the Holy Spirit, John Wesley started his mission, preaching to the urban and rural working class in Britain, starting with Bristol and then moving gradually northwards. This time, his work did bear fruit. And as they say, the rest is history. Eventually, the Methodist Church was founded. So for us, there is the, I would say, the encouragement and also the pointer that we are just like the dry bones in the vision that Ezekiel had if we don't possess the Holy Spirit. So in our prayers and in the next song, we will be asking for God's Spirit to come into our lives. Amen.